Well, thank you for joining us this morning, whether you're here in person, whether you're joining us online or sometime later on in the week. It's great to be back and great to be with you on Mother's Day. We're sort of in between two series. Next week, we're going to begin, or actually kind of pick up, if you remember, we had started a few years ago in the summers going through the minor prophets. And we're going to start that back up starting next week. But we kind of felt like the book of Hosea is a great book, but it's not necessarily perfectly fitting for Mother's Day. So we're going to have a little bit of a transition message here as we think a little bit about mothers and what they teach us about God and the gospel. Now, I will give you the disclaimer that I, myself, am not a mother. All right. But I do have one, and I'm married to one, so at least I have a little bit of familiarity with this. As we think a little bit this morning, not in such a way to raise motherhood to a point where we're even in danger of worshiping it, but that we can sort of think about the gift that God has given us of motherhood, and specifically what it might teach us, parenting and motherhood, but what it might teach us about who God is and how he loves us and saves us. So as we dive into that this morning, why don't you enter with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the sacred gift of motherhood, for the responsibility of parenting. And Lord, we thank you especially on this day as we think about how it teaches us about you and how we can see your love through our parents and through specifically the love of our mother. I pray that you would speak to us further as we enter into your word and we think about this great gift that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your scriptures, I'd ask you to open up to Luke chapter 2. This is going to start us off. We're not going to really break this passage down verse by verse like we often do, but this is going to kind of give us an idea of where we're going this morning. So Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. You can follow along on the screen if you don't have your scriptures with you. Luke 2, starting in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is to be opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Now, this is a little bit out there, a little different than what we normally would preach and how we would work through a section of Scripture. We typically, as we would do, is read a passage, work through that verse by verse, exegetically. But instead, this morning, what I want to kind of do is use that idea as a jumping off point, that we could follow Mary and Joseph's example. You see, there's at least three times in Luke chapter 2 where the scriptures talk about Mary pondering or cherishing or marveling or thinking deeply about what she's seeing and hearing while she mothers the child Jesus. And we can only guess what those ponderings were. You get this sense that through the caring and nurturing of Jesus, that Mary was learning more all the time about herself, more about humanity, and most of all, that she was learning more about what this great God was orchestrating as a plan for the salvation of the world. Now, none of us are actually parenting the Son of God. Now, I mean, my mom probably felt that way at some points because I was such a good kid. Actually, if you... If you listen closely enough, you can hear her eyes rolling right now as she's watching this on the live stream. But much like mothering Jesus caused Mary to ponder deeply about other things, about who God was and about where she stood, I think we are also taught some important truths about the Lord and about the gospel through motherhood and parenting. So I have five things, and certainly there are more, but five things that the Lord teaches us through the sacred gift of motherhood. The first is, motherhood teaches us about God by giving us a taste of what it means to give and sustain life. Now, when Elena was first pregnant with Miles, I remember from how the day that we found out about that pregnancy that we were just all in on following the development of that baby. Elena had an app on her phone that tracked how the baby was changing. We had this practice where we had visuals on the windowsill of the sink. So, like, when the app said that he was the size of a lentil, we put a lentil up there. And I can remember going to, like, a blueberry, and we had a fig and an avocado, you know, as he's growing in these different sizes. And we had this visual idea of how he was growing. Every Sunday night, we would watch a little video detailing about the development. You know, it's like, wow, he has fingernails this week, you know, and you're excited about that. It's this unbelievable feeling of this person that you've created that is growing. Even more than that, it was amazing how quickly we became attached to that little person. I know also that any of you who've experienced a miscarriage know that fact very well, that you become so attached to that developing baby so early. That you love them. You start to dream of what they might do, what they might become. That the speed at which you become attached to that child is astounding. This is true for both parents, but I think even more for mothers, whose body is literally supporting, sustaining, nourishing and growing that child. That experience, I think, gives us such color to the Word of God. I think of Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 25. We're talking about God saying, He Himself gives to mankind life and breath and everything. And He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards Him and find Him. Right, as we think of God's love, creation, and sustaining of life, motherhood is a beautiful picture of that. That there's such a deep love that develops between a mother and the child that she gives life to. Such a profound love that is immediate when they see that child after birth. You know, no matter what circumstances brought that child into the world, no matter how difficult the birth was, no matter how much goop the kid is covered in, you just love them. We feel that as parents. Especially as mothers who have been forming this relationship for months and months, who have been waiting to finally see and hold that child that they've been nourishing and sustaining in the womb. Mothers love their little creations. But then how much more must God love us? Because in reality, even though we feel like we created these individuals, these children, we were simply part of God's greater plan of creating life. Ultimately, we are not our child's creator. That title goes to God the Father. And just think, if we love our little creation so much that we'll jump in front of a bus for them before they even know our faces, how much more must the Lord of the universe love and care for us? How much more does it show how He would sacrifice everything for us? This is the Father who has known us since before the foundations of the world was laid. He's the one who formed us in our mother's womb with a design that He formulated specially for us. And there's probably times in our life when we wonder, how is it that God could love me? We mess up. We don't live up to our own expectations, and we certainly don't live up to God's expectations. But motherhood teaches us an important lesson about God's love. It teaches us an important lesson about how he loves us, how he works for us, why he sacrificed to redeem us. One of the reasons he desires to adopt us into his family and be in relationship with us is simply because he made us, formed us, designed us, gave us life, and sustains our life. Motherhood teaches us about the love of God by giving us a taste of what it feels like to give and sustain life. Think, too, about how much a mother desires for her child to flourish and thrive. Now think how much more God must desire that from his children. Similarly, think how much it hurts God to see his children make poor choices, to see his children harm themselves with reckless living. How much it hurts him to see his children fight and harm one another. Motherhood gives us a taste of what it feels like to give and sustain life. Motherhood gives us a taste of what it feels like to see those children make good and bad choices. Motherhood teaches us about God and the gospel. I can remember periods of time, and some of these things are still ongoing with each of the two older boys. Now, Fletcher's not quite there yet, but I know it's coming. But times when we just have these knockdown, drag-out battles over some of the most basic of human functions, like fighting over brushing your teeth, right? Going to the bathroom before bed, arguments over haircuts and clipping of fingernails, right? And it brings out this truth about motherhood and parenting. Mothers are on a mission to care for the careless, right? A mom's job is to take care of these little people who absolutely do not want to be cared for. I think of one of the most clear and humorous examples in our family was with Max this winter after his tonsils and adenoid surgery. Now, he absolutely hated taking the medicine, even though it tasted just like candy. Like, medicine used to taste terrible when I was a kid, but now the stuff is, I tasted it. It's actually really good. It tastes like candy. But yet, he absolutely hated it. And whenever the medicine would wear off, he was in terrible pain and was just a total wreck of a person. But you could not convince him that he needed to take that medication. There was one night where both Elaine and I had to literally hold him down on the floor just to squirt the liquid pain medication into his mouth. I mean, he was flipping his head. He was trying to spit it out. He was frothing at the mouth. He looked like this rabid creature. I tell you what, it was going to be, he was either going to take that medicine or he was going to get an exorcism. There was like nothing in between. And it's terribly frustrating as parents at times. Like, we are trying to help our kids, trying to secure their health and their flourishing. And they respond by fighting us at every turn. It's for their own good health to brush their teeth, to eat breakfast, to take medication. Moms and parents only fight those battles because we love our children so deeply. Yet they don't want it. They don't want to be cared for. But a deep truth this teaches us, not about parenting, but about our own hearts. Because we grow out of those fightings over teeth brushing, but we never really grow out of the hatred of being told what to do. The rebellion in our hearts does not leave. It only changes form. God's ways and God's rules are righteous and good. God gets no pleasure in just commanding things. He doesn't give us rules in order to steal our fun. God gives us guidance for our own good, for our own flourishing, for our own thriving. Yet just like Max and the medicine, we fight him, don't we? Maybe it's not as overt as we get older because we get more skilled at hiding our rebellion, but it's still here in our heart. We want to do it on our own terms. We want to do it in our own way. even though our own way leads to destruction. I think of Jesus' words before he enters Jerusalem, going into the Passion Week in Luke 13:34, and he says, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, yet you were not willing." So the mission of motherhood is to care for those who do not want to be cared for. But above all, it's a reminder to us that we are often those type of children. He desires to care for us. He desires to bring us into him like that mother hen gathering her chicks. He's done it by giving his son because he cares for us. Romans 5:8, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Motherhood teaches us the gospel by showing us that God loves us even in the midst of our rebellion. Motherhood teaches us the gospel by being a picture of the gentleness of God. Right? There's nothing like the gentleness and care from a mother. I mean, I think that I'm a good dad, and I think if you were to ask my boys, that they would tell you I'm a good dad at least 50% of the time. My boys love to spend time with me, fix stuff with me, play, run around with me, get messy with me, but as much as they love their dad, there's only one person they call for when they fall down and get hurt, when they're scared, when they're in pain, when they're sick. They desire the gentleness and care of their mother. And it really plays out that way in our home. If one of our boys gets hurt around the house, I'll tell you, 9 times out of 10, it is the direct result of them doing something they're not supposed to do, right? Oh, you hit your head? Well, it's because you were jumping off the couch, right? And you're not supposed to be doing that. And so dad's response, my initial response is, that's what you get, you knucklehead, right? I don't actually call my kids knuckleheads, but that is definitely what I'm thinking when that happens. Whereas mom just wants to scoop them up and comfort them. Motherhood teaches us the gospel by being a picture of the gentleness of God. Now, is that situation a bit of a stereotype? Maybe, but in general, I think it's fair to say that women, particularly moms, are specially designed by the Lord with a heightened capacity for care and relational tenderness. That doesn't mean that if a man acts tenderly that he is any less of a man. You can just read, you know, 2 Thessalonians where Paul says that he was gentle among the people like a nursing mother. It also doesn't mean that someone is less of a woman if she struggles with relational tenderness and care in certain situations. But instead, this is a general affirmation that part of God's image given particularly to women is a high capacity for care and tenderness and gentleness. And primarily throughout Scripture, you will see God identified with masculine language. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all consistently addressed with the masculine personal pronoun, he. It's therefore true and biblically faithful to refer to God as he. God delights in revealing himself in a number of different male metaphors like father, husband, bridegroom. But that being said, there are also several areas of Scripture where God uses feminine metaphors to describe particularly his care, gentleness, and even protection towards his people. As we just read in the last point, Jesus uses the metaphor of a mother hen when he describes his desire to gather his wayward children in love and protection. In Isaiah 66:13, God says that he comforts his people like a mother comforts a child. Isaiah 49:15 says that he remembers his people like a woman remembers her nursing child. In Deuteronomy 32:11, God is like a mother eagle hovering over her young. In Luke 15:8-10, God seeks the lost, like a housekeeper trying to find her lost coin. Motherhood teaches us about the gentleness and tender care of God. So the next time that you see a mother comforting her child after a scraped knee or a bumped head, remember that God is gentle and patient with us, desiring to draw us near to Him with kindness and tenderness. Before I move on, let me just add that gentleness and tenderness is not the only attribute talked about in relationship to motherhood. And we're going to see this, as I said, we're studying Hosea next. But if you look to Hosea chapter 13, verse 8, God says this about Himself: I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs. I will tear open their breast, and I will devour them. Gentle, tender. Yeah, but don't you dare get in between a mother bear and her cubs, right? God is this way too. What security and care we have from the Lord. The call to motherhood is a call to joyful suffering. Now, it wasn't originally designed to be this way, but ever since sin entered the Garden of Eden, ever since the punishment of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, motherhood is a bittersweet mixture of suffering and joy. In fact, Jesus uses motherhood as an example of suffering in John chapter 16. In the context there, Jesus is speaking to the disciples of His imminent departure. He's saying that He must leave them and go to the Father. His departure, He says, will be sorrowful. It will be painful for these disciples. But He also says it will result in greater joy because of what Jesus will secure for them through His death and resurrection. And so to describe that, Jesus uses an analogy. Look at what it is here in John 16, verses 19 through 24. You can follow along on the board. I'm going to read it here from the scriptures. Jesus says, "Is this what you're asking yourself? What I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will not see me, and again, a little while you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow." Now, that word could be translated pain, so it's talking about probably physical pain, not emotional there. "A woman has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy of that human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." See, mothers suffer when their children are born. All who have children know that giving birth is not an easy thing. All those that have adopted know that adoption is not an easy thing. It may be without physical pain, but it is filled with emotional distress. I've mentioned before that the birth of our first was a very difficult and long birth. I asked the OB a few days later in our follow-up appointment what would have happened 100 years ago, and she just frankly said they both would have died. You know, there's great pain and great joy in bringing a child into the family, into the world. All mothers know that the suffering then doesn't even end at the birth, but it's only the beginning. Right? Mothers suffer when children get on the school bus that first time. They suffer when their children leave the house and head off to college. They suffer when they go off into the mission field or get that first job in a different city. Mothers suffer when their children die. We have a funeral on Tuesday for a 26-year-old. Mothers suffer when their children are foolish and make poor decisions with their life. As Proverbs 10:1 puts it, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother." And mothers suffer worst of all when they see their children turn their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's great joy in motherhood, and thanks be to God that the joy often outshines the pain. But to be a mother is a calling to suffer. And it reminds us of an important truth of knowing and following Jesus. Being a Christian is a calling to suffer. Jesus ends that discussion that we read in John chapter 16 by saying this, "I have said these things to you, that you may have peace, because the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." We will have suffering and tribulation in this world. And the bittersweet dance between suffering and joy in motherhood gives us an image of what it means to follow Christ. Motherhood teaches us the gospel by teaching us that suffering will come, that trials and tribulations will come, but also that joy will triumph over it all, because Christ has triumphed over this world. Finally, motherhood is a hint of what God sees in us. Last weekend, our family, we were at a playground, and I noticed a mom walking around with one of those crowns made from twisting up dandelions. Now, I don't know for a fact that she didn't make that for herself, but I assume, and I think it's safe to assume, that one of her children probably came up to her with, you know, a beautiful little bouquet of dandelions and presented it to her as a gift of appreciation. Right? I imagine the joy that this mom probably felt. I imagine the love that swelled up in her as she was given these flowers by one of her precious children. But at the same time, I was thinking about a conversation that I had with Dale Munkowitz just a little bit before about all the weeds that were springing up in the church lawn. What weeds were we talking about? The very same. We were talking about the dandelions. Right? We're talking about what chemicals we use at home, what chemicals are the most effective to destroy these weeds so that the grass could flourish. What a contrast. I mean, a mother may look out her window and see dandelions and consider them weeds, just like Dale and I would, but the moment those weeds are gathered up into a bouquet by one of her children, they become a magnificent gift producing joy. The eye of a mother sees beautiful flowers where everyone else sees weeds. Is that not a comforting image of our Lord and Savior? The God who could look down on his people, a sinful people, a rebellious people, a prideful, pleasure-seeking, idolatrous, selfish, angry people, a petty, ignorant people, a people who deserve to be destroyed. Folks, we're dandelions. We're weeds. We pollute his creation. But God looks down, God figuratively out that window, and he doesn't see weeds. Instead, like a mother, he sees flowers. He sees people who might be redeemed. For those who have made a decision to believe and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, he sees a new creation. Colossians 3, verse 3, "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." For those who have repented and believed in Jesus Christ, God does not see a handful of weeds. He sees flowers. He sees a beautiful bouquet. He sees Christ and his perfect life. What a comfort on Mother's Day. Again, I ask, do you sometimes wonder how God could love you? Maybe you feel like you have nothing to give. Maybe you feel like a failure. You keep falling short of your duties as a husband, a father, a mother, a student, a coworker. Maybe you feel anxious, you feel depressed. You doubt. You haven't been prioritizing prayer or the reading of Scripture. You feel like you are nothing more than a pile of weeds before the Lord. Well, the truth is, you are. Thanks, Pastor. That's very encouraging, right? But it's true. We are all a pile of weeds. And you know, the ortho man is on his way to treat the lawn. But for those who choose to believe and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, You're covered by Christ. And God sees flowers, not weeds. He desires to scoop you up and fashion you into the most beautiful adornment, the most beautiful crown, one that is made in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Motherhood gives us a hint of what God sees in us, what he sees in those who have repented and believed in Christ. It is a joy to reflect on today. I'll just conclude with this. Charles Spurgeon's father and his grandfather were both pastors. But he regularly refers in his sermons and books to the spiritual influence of his mother on his life. He talks about one occasion where his mother, Eliza Jarvis, prayed these words in the presence of all her children. She said this, "Now Lord," this isn't a prayer, "Now Lord, if my children go on in their sins, it will not be from ignorance that they perish. And my soul must bear swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold of Christ." Can you imagine a mom praying that in front of her children, saying to the Lord, "If these guys don't choose you and they die in your sin, I will be witness to their sins on the day of judgment if they don't take hold of Christ." Spurgeon later wrote about that prayer, noting that he thought about that often, about his mother bearing swift witness against him if he did not choose Christ, and how it pierced his conscience and stirred his heart. Motherhood is a sacred gift, not only because of the way that our moms love and care for us physically, but because the role of mother teaches us about God and about his gospel.